Today's daf is Chagiga, daf Chaf Dalid, and we are on Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. We just got past the two dots. Let's go back to the two dots to review what this distinction was as we finish up today the distinctions until we from the first Mishnah in the Perek, and we get to the next Mishnah related to the different levels. As we mentioned, until the last the last daf, we have Tumah V'Tahara issues, as we will see come up. Only three or four more dafim left until we get to Daf Chav Zayin on Sunday, when we have the Siyum on Meseches Chagiga and Seder Moed, and B'Dash Hashem on Monday start up with Meseches Yevamos. Okay, so let us start now again, Chav Gimel Amud Beis. So the Mishnah had said that one of the differences between Truma and Kachim is that a Kli is Mitzaref for Kachim if Tuma touches something within a Kli, so then the rest of the whatever else is also in the Kli is also Tameh, even though it's not touching one another. But when it comes to Truma, we don't have such a Chumrah. So that was difference number 7, right in the middle of the Mishnah. We discussed there already Tosfos on the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis, right? That Rabbi Ephraim asked from the first parak in Chulin that it seems to be master from that Gemara that you don't have such a din because you already have a different marker there for a Kli Cheres being Metameh Me Aviro. So we discussed that there about Tziruf L'Chulin. Okay, so we'll get back to that maybe in a little bit as well. So again, the Gemara says on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, how do I know this idea that by Kudshim, a Kli is Mitzarif, a Kli combines everything inside of it, even if one is not one doesn't look at it altogether, and one views all the contents inside as something separate, but halacha views them all together. So says the Gemara, Amar of Chanan, Pashtus, it is a din de oraisa. Damar kra, kafachas, asara zahav malaya katoris. One spoon, right by the Nisim, bringing the karbanos to set the stage for the avoda of the Mishkan. Kafachas, and we know that they brought every single type of karban in that time period to allow the groundwork of the Mishkan to take place. They brought a chatas, and they brought a mincha, and they brought a shlamin. They bring everything. Fascinating line there of the Ramban. It's a lumdish question, but just a one line in Parshas Naso. Where's Asham? Every carbon there is brought. Chatas, shlamim, ola, ktores, right? Where's the Asham? So Ramban says, well, Asham is bechlal chatas. So we view that on the surface like, okay, Asham is Bechal Chatos, right? They're both Karbanos for Averos. But in Lumdis, Asham and Chatos are different types of Karbanos. In Achatos has four sprinklings on all four corners. In Asham has sprinklings like an Ola, Shtayim Shein Arba, Lamata Michota Sikra, under. So that line of the Ramban, taken in the context of analyzing those two Karbanos, plays a significant role, just that one line. But again, not for now, and we get back to the pasuk quoted in our Gemara. So we have one spoonful of Sarazov, Malaya Ketores. So it's one spoon with all the Ketores in it. Hakasiv asa'o l'choma shebekaf achas. The Torah makes everything in that one spoonful considered one, right, because it says kaf achas. That is the drasha. The Rabbeinu Chananel, we didn't mention it yesterday, has a little different idea of the drasha. He says on the bottom, "Kiven the kas of kaf yadanu shehi achas achas the kas of Rachman alamali." Or maybe he's just explaining, right? The word achas is totally extra. If it says kaf, you know it's one spoon. So why do you have to say achas? It must be that you view it as achas. That's how he understands the drasha. Either way, it seems like a din to oraisa. That's going to be problematic because, as we've said, most of the chilukim, if not all, in the Mishnah are derabbanan chilukim. So all of a sudden we said, how do we know this? So up till now we've had, oh, gezeira for this, and worry about this, and all of a sudden now we quote a pasuk. So that's the Gemara's problem here. But it seems from elsewhere that this is a din derabbanan, not a din d'oraisa. So how can the Gemara quote a pasuk? Masav Rav Kahana. So the question is asked, the Mishnah tells us an idios, Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added on. What did he add on to? What's the first half of the Mishnah? So Rashi here quotes the first half of the Mishnah, second to last skinny line. Rashi quotes, Heyin. Remember, all of Masechet's idios is idios, testimonies that the Tanam gave about certain halachos. This is what we remember the machlokas is. This is what we remember this machlokas is. On that day that is discussed, what that day is. So, says Rashi, quoting that Mishnah, Heyid Rabbi Shimon al Efer Chatos, Shenoga Tami Vimixos Apostles Kulo. The Rashi is about Efer Chatos. Efer Chatos is in a kli, and the concept of tzirif for a kli applies by the ashes of the paraduma, meaning the highest level of items that are kadosh. If you touch some of it, then all of it becomes tameh. Rabbi Akiva says, oh, it doesn't only apply to efer chatos, it applies to all these following items as well. So now we pick up back to the Gemara. Hosef, Rabbi Akiva, hasoles, it applies to flour, v'aktores, and the ktores that we bring every morning and every afternoon that the Kohen brings, the halavona, and the lavona that goes along with the carbon mincha, v'hagechalim, and the coals. Which coals? Not 100% clear in the Mishnah which coals are being discussed. Tosfos here, because he has a problem, Tosfos v'im assumes it's dafka, the coals taken out on Yom Kippur, because that is part of an avoda. Right, the coals that one takes out, use also, the chumas adeshen, you take out burned ashes, but also some of the coals. So, does not think that that would have the level of tziruf l'kli. But here, so Tosa says, quoting Yerushalmi also, on the fourth wide line in Tosa's, Gecholim shel yom ha-kippurim, shebemash ha-yechote ha-yom ha-achnes. Okay, either way, Rabbi Kiva adds all of these on, shemnaga tful yom b'miksaso pasla skulo, that if a tful yom, a sheni latuma, someone who went to the mikveh but is waiting for harif shemesh, a tful yom, if he touches any of these items, all of them are tameh because of the concept of siruf, of siruf l'kli. So says the Gemara, v'hadrabanani. But these items are only mitzuraf midrabanan. Mimai, how do I know? Midiktani reisha. Because the first line, heyadim shemin b'seira, as we just saw, al eifrachata shenagatame b'miksasha shetimias kulo. So that is a chumra derabanan, the first line, the resha. And then Rabbi Akiva adds on to that. Buktani hosef Rabbi Akiva. So ask the Gemara, how could we call it a pasik of kaf achas to teach me this concept of sirif lakli, that it's all connected? That gives the impression that it's a din d'oraisa. Sounds like from the Mishnah, from the context, that it's a din derabanan. So how could we understand that? Tosas here discusses, and he gives an answer relating to what we discussed yesterday. Maybe it's based on that principle of Chibas HaKodesh, of the beloved nature of Kachim allows it to be a rule breaker. We discussed the two types, as the Menachas Chinuch pointed out, the two types of Chibas HaKodesh, one that gives it a shame kli, and one that allows it to become Tameh, even though it wasn't Mukhshar L'Kabal Tumah. The two types of Chibas HaKodesh. Tosfos says maybe here too. Maybe Tzirif L'Kli is also based on that. So he goes through, maybe not. That's the discussion here, a little bit of Tosas. So the Gemara does not give that answer. Amar Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapara, Lo Nitzricha Ela L'Shiyarei Mincha. The Eidus of Rabbi Akiva is needed, why? For Shiyarei Mincha. Rav Rashi says, on top, Lo Nitzricha L'Hai Eidus Rabbi Akiva, D'mi D'Rabbanan. Right, what is Rabbi Akiva? Really, it could be Daraisa. What is the added Rabbi Akiva adding on the Drabana level? It's needed for the solas. What's the solas talking about? The shirayim of a carbon mincha. We know what happens by a carbon mincha. By shchita, by an animal, you have the dalet avodos, shchita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika. And after that, I burn the fats on the mizbeach. And then, as long as it's not a carbon ola, where it's all burned on the mizbeach, all the rest of the meat is divvied up. Whether it's kachim kachim, so the kohanim will get it, the male kohanim. If it's a shlamim, so that I give the kohen, the chazeh, and the shok, and the Yisrael gets the rest of it. That's what happens by an animal. What about by a carbon mincha? So as long as it's not a kohen's carbon mincha, so the kohen does kmitza, right? It just takes the kmitza, sticks his hand into the flour and rubs off with his thumb and his pinky, and the flour that is underneath the three middle fingers, he burns on the mizbeach. Right, he does. Four avodos also by a mincha. Kemitza, and then he puts it into a kli, and he carries it to the mizbeach, and then he does hagasha, and then he burns it in the mizbeach. Haktara. So four parallel avodos. After that's done, then the rest of the kar mincha is eaten by the kohanim. It's kachi kachim. It's eaten by the kohanim. So that shirayim, that's what's being referred to. That shirayim, which is really the leftovers after the avoda was done, so that also has tziruf l'kli. That is the chiddush Rabbi Akiva is adding. Sirif Lakli, even by the Shiari Mincha. Why? Because, continues the Gemara, De'oraisa, on a Doraisa level. Tsarech Lakli Akli Bitsarfo. If it needs the Kli, if something needs the Kli to be Makadesh it, then the Kli is Mitzarif it. She'enu Tsarech Lakli in Kli Mitzarfo. But on a Doraisa level, if it does not need the Kli doesn't do anything to it. Right, so then, if I have something in my house, in a kli, so that's the kli, I'm sorry, if it, I don't have to have it in the kli, because I have it on the table without the kli. So here, once the avod is over, it's the shirayim of the mincha, it doesn't need the kli, so that's the chiddush, v'yasu rabbanon, v'gazru l'chacham, say, well, it used to be kodesh, it's the shirayim of a mincha, t'yaf agav, deino tzarech l'kli, kli mitzarfo. So that's how you explain the word solas in Rabbi Akiva's Hosafa. It is Rabbi Akiva's is Drabbanan because we're talking about the Shirayim of the solas. Keep in mind that when it comes to a carbon mincha of a Kohen, there's different rules. It's a separate mitzvah in the Torah. Right? When a Kohen brings a carbon mincha, so then it's all burned on the Mizbeach. So question is Kmitza done? Question in the Tanoim. If you're going to burn both parts anyway, maybe just burn it without having to do Kmitza. Or do you have to do Kmitza to be the Kaddish the carbon? You still have to do the avoda, even though it's going to be like an ola. You don't just take the animal and burn it. You have to kill it somehow. But here too, maybe kmitza is parallel. Or do we say, no, kmitza is only in order to separate what's going to be burned and what's going to be eaten. The Sefer HaChinuch says, why is a mincha of a kohen totally burned? Why is it totally burned? So he says, because when a Yisrael brings a mincha, see, he obviously realizes that it's a carbon. Why? He gives it to the kohen. He doesn't eat any of it. He doesn't get any of it. So, part of it's burned, part of it goes to the Kohen, so you can get the message of the Karban Mincha. But let's say a Kohen brings a Mincha. A Kohen brings a Mincha. So he's going to bring a Mincha, then you're going to take off a little bit to burn the Kvitza, and then he's going to eat the rest of it. He's not going to realize that this is something special and unique, because he's going to basically eat all of it. He's going to think it's his lunch. Right? He's going to break it, and then so, by a Kohen, you have to have a different standard. That's why a Mincha's Kohen, Kalil Tihiel, Osei Achel, separate mitzvah in the Torah, it has to be totally... has to be totally burnt. So that is by a Kohen. But the separate shirayim of a regular mincha, that's a separate mitzvah aseh daraisa for the Kohen to eat. The zichrei kudin, it's kachshei kachshim. The Chinuch writes this also a couple of mitzvahs earlier. It's all in Parshas Tzav. Parshas Tzav discusses all about the karbanos, halachas of a karban mincha, the mincha of the Kohen that the Kohen Gadol has to bring one every day, and the some other elements. But if you look in mitzvah kuf lamed dalet, shenitztavu hakohanim leachol shiyarei menachas. That a kohen has a separate mitzvah, the chatas and the shlamim. And here, it's a separate mitzvah for the kohanim to eat from the karban mincha shirayim. Klomar, acher sheyefrishu mimena mashahayu maktirin b'mizbeach, after they brought what was hooktar, sheyochlu heim kol hasha'ar. That they eat the rest. When they eat it, they probably say a bracha. Right, we're used to, you know, alachilas matzah and alachilas mar. But the Kohanim, when they used to do the mitzvahs daraisa in the Beis Hamikdash, when they used to eat shruma, right, when they used to eat kachim, right, it's the first mishnah of Malachim Ma'aser Karbanos discusses this, that all the karbanos and the matnos kahuna, separate mitzvah, a bracha, they would say. So here too, separate mitzvah, eating the shirayim of a mincha, as the Gemara just referred to here. Shede'emar, v'anoseres, v'menu yochlu aron v'anav, matzos te'achel, v'chulu, matzos te'achel, mitzvah, yivama yavo aleha, mitzvah, klomar shede'em, mitzvah aseh, lo rishus. That is the language of the chinuch here in Kuf Lamed Aleph. The Menachas chinuch discusses an idea that comes up by other karbanos as well, and that is, am I allowed to give my child some of the karban? Let's say I'm a Yisrael, shlamim. Am I allowed to feed it to a 10-year-old? You know, we have a lot of karban meat. Let's say he's a good eater. I don't want to violate nosar, leaving it over. Am I allowed to give it? Matzah you could give. Matzah doesn't have the same kedusha as a karban. So, what do we say about that? Says the Menachas Chinuch, mutter katan le'echol b'kachi kachin. Raki no choling. He can't get a portion, as like when all the kohanim are lining up to get a portion of the kachi kachin, he can't be there. But if I bring it home, not home, I have to eat it in the azara, I can't eat it too far out, but let's say there's a child, katan, who's there, is he allowed to eat it? Says the Menachas Chinuch, l'chor akivashi mitzvah say le'echol, heich yicholim litin l'katan. Seems like you're allowed to give it to a katan, but says the Rambam, and in Halacha Yud Yud Zayin in Ma'aser Karbanos says, but why should that be? if it's a mitzvah asay to eat it, eichichol b'tevel katan ha eino bar chiyuva umevatz lemakonim mitzvah asay. How can I give it to a 10-year-old? The Rambam says you can. Ach be'emes eina mitzvah lechol kulo rak ha-mitzvah al kol echol lechol kezayis kemo kol mitzvah asay da'achila. Oh, gets into the lumdus discussion we've had in the past, and that is it a mitzvah to eat or for the carbon to be eaten? Right, that's a question. Right, every kohen has a mitzvah to eat every carbon if it's his mishmar. So many achronim, the Chasam Sofer, say no, that it, the Beis Halevi, every carbon is a mitzvah to have it, make sure it's eaten. So even a child that's making sure it's eaten, you still recognize that ma'isa achila, right? If he can make a bracha, that maybe carbon Pesach is different. Carbon Pesach, the Beis Halevi says, is different than all other carbonos. There's a chovas gavra to eat. So, but even there, it's not a chovas gavra to eat the whole carbon Pesach. It's a chovas gavra to eat the kezayis. So the Menachas Chinuch, that's how he explains it. If you focus more on the chefse, not the gavra, more on it to be eaten and not for me to eat it, and as long as every other kohen gets enough, so then one would be able to pass it along to a katan. So again, that all relates to what the suggestion here, the Gemara made, and that is that word in the Mishnah Idios of Solas is referring to the shiare mincha, that it is a mitzvah to eat. So the Gemara now continues, fourth line, Tenach Solas. Fine, that explains the Durabbanan edition of Solas in Rabbi Akiva's statement, Ktores v'lavona ma'ika l'meimar. But what about the other two items? What are you going to suggest about that? Right, they need a kli. So if you say they need a kli, so that should be in the world of Daraisa. How can Rabbi Akiva say Hosef and it sounds like it's Durabbanan? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Abba Baravua, Kigon Shet Savran, Al Gabi Kartavla. You put these items, the Ktores and the Lavona, on a flat leather band. Meaning you didn't really put it in the kli. Rashi says, or shaluk, a cooked piece of leather. So on that type of material, on that type of instrument, it's not called a kli d'oraisa. D'oraisa, yesh lo toch mitzarif. Ein lo toch ein a mitzarif. The din of tzirif, the kli, only applies in a kli. If you have this flat piece of leather, so that's not going to be mitzarif, what's on it, on a d'oraisa level. Because it doesn't have an inside, it doesn't have a receptacle, and therefore it's not going to be mitzarif d'oraisa. V'asu rabbanon v'tiknu daf agav de'in lo tok mitzarif. And that was the additional point of Rabbi Akiva. The rabbanon added on that even though this doesn't have an inside, it's flat, still it is... it is mitzarif l'kli. Just finish up. Upliga de Rav Chanan. And Rav Chanan, who made this statement at the beginning, that some is d'oraisa and then some is, the rest is d'rabbanan, right? So that is an argument on the following. Ad Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Ad Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Am Rabbi Yochanan. Mei dusos Rabbi Akiva. Nishtes Mishnah Zu. This whole discussion was learned out from the Edusos Rabbi Akiva. Meaning this day, the Rishonim explained, hold that it's all d'rabbanan. All Durabanan. The first day of Rav Chanan hold that some is Daraisa and some is Durabanan, but this day holds that it is all the world of Durabanan. What do you do with the Pasuk? Okay, Asmachta. You don't have to say that the Pasuk is a Din Daraisa. As we discussed many times, you can have that concept of the Durabanan making a Din and then going back to the Torah and finding a Pasuk that hints to the ideas. Okay, so it's Machlokas, Amoraim, whether the roots of this din of Kli Mitzarif is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. Tosfos asks another question. Tosfos d'oraisa. Hikshar b'chanan. And Tosfos here does not give an answer, interestingly. Almost every question that Tosfos asks in Shas, he gives an answer. Once in a while he does it, and then it's up to us to try to figure out an answer. Tosfos says, Hikshar b'chanan. Amai lo kamar kegon shet savro b'kli chol. Why didn't the Gemara say that on a d'oraisa Kli Mitzarif, only by a kli sharis? Maybe you have it, the concept of serif in a kli, a non-sacred, right, a deconsecrated, a kli chol, kli. To oraisa kli sharis mitzarif, velo shel chol, to be in a dumya dekaf, v'yavo v'yishesh lo toch, v'tzarech in. Why don't you go over the case of a flat piece of leather? Just say you're talking about a bowl from your house. A regular kli. But that's not mitzarif, because the special din d'oraisa of kaf achas only applies to kli shareis. What if I have any of these items? In, let's say I want to somehow give flour right to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's, I bring flour, a makdish flour, I'm going to bring a carbon mincha, and I put it, how do I get it to the Beis HaMikdash? I put it in my bowl, and I'm going to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. And then, on the way, it gets tamei. But some of it gets tamei, and not all of it inside. Do you say kli mitzarif? So it's in my bowl.
So maybe that should be the case. That's not so far-fetched. Mehiri Bana Beis HaMikdash, we're all going to be, unless you buy the flower of the Beis HaMikdash, so you want to be makdash your own flower, whatever it is, it's a kliyacho. So why didn't the Gemara give that suggestion? Tosfos says it's Archeon. I don't know. So if you read this Tosfos, you think Tosfos, there's no answer. There's no answer. What could be an answer? Could be an answer, maybe in a kliyacho, it is also Mitzarif. Right? That could, if you say that, so then Tosfos, that's the answer to Tosfos' question. But if you look at the Tosfos Arash here says, no, maybe we're talking about a, you're right, who says that that's a better case than a Kartavla? I think the Tosfos Arash says a Kli Sharis is not, is a Kli Sharis is the only one that's Mitzarif, and a Kli Chol is not Mitzarif. The Gemara could have given that answer, but, you know, gave this one. But if you look, amazingly, if you look in the Piskei Tosfos, at the end of every Masechta, besides the big Tosfos that we have on the Daf, at the end of every Masechta, there's one page, even less than a page, called Piskei Tosfos, where you have a one-liner, which is the Maskana of many of the Tosfos in the Masechta. And most of the time it just summarizes what the halachic implications are from that Tosfos. So if you look here, the end of Piskei Tosfos, it's in three pages from now, on the bottom of the bottom of the last daf, Piskei Tosfos, Os Lamed Gimel, five words. Afilu Klechol Mitzarif Lakodesh. It says it as a statement, not as a Tzarech Ian. A Klechol is Mitzarif also. Meaning, that's what the Tzarech Ian of Tosfos is, that's what you're forced to say. Because why did the Gemara give that answer? It must be that a Kli Chol is also Mitzarif. This special din of a Kli being Mitzarif for Ilchus Tumah does not only apply, according to the Piskei Tosfos, in a Kli Sharis, but even if you're in your own bowl. If you have Kudshim in your own bowl for some reason, whether wine and oil, you're not going to come up with a nafkamina because it's liquid. It's always touching each other. But let's say you have flour, you have some other type of solid, so then Kli Mitzarif would apply even to the Kli Chol. Okay. We continue now. Harevi'i Bakodesh Pasul. The Revi'i Bakodesh is Pasul. This is the next difference, number 8 in the Mishnah. As we said, there is an only a concept. Just remember the basics, right? Av, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi'i. So Av and Rishon apply to people. Sheni applies to foods. And maybe Drabbanan to hands and a number of other Drabbanans. But a Shlishi and Revi'i, that's limited. A shlishi you only have by truma and kachim, and a revi you only apply by kachim. As we've said, the more holy something is, the more susceptible it is to tuma. Right? The greater it is, the harder they fall. Right? One could say. Right? That's what the Meshech Chachma points out. He says, whenever you have something more kadosh, the greater loss it could be. Right? The Meshech Chachma quotes this in the context of kitch in Parshas B'Shalach. Kitch, the kedusha rishon and the kedusha shnia. Right, we know the Kedusha Rishon of Eretz Yisrael did not last. The Kedusha Shnia lasted. Right? Why? The Rambam says the first one was through conquering, and the second one is through settlement. When Ezra and Nehemiah came back, there was all settlement. So all the Achronim asked, why is that better? Somehow the settlement is better. And they all give the different answers. The Meshech Chachma says just the opposite. The first one was better. The first one was with the Moshe Yoshua ben Nun and the Aaron going in. But the greater it is, the harder they fall. If you have a huge balloon and you pop it, it's going to make much louder of a sound than a tiny balloon. Because it's bigger and better. So he says that's what the Gemara says in Bechoros. He goes to Gemara in Bechoros, Mem Zayin, that if a Kohenes is Nivala Lapasola, if a Bas Kohen is Bezana with somebody who makes her Pasol, then she becomes like a Yisrael. Right? She not only can't eat Truma, she can't even eat Maiser Rishon, like a Levi can eat. But a Leviah who's Nivala L'Pasala can still eat Maiser Rishon. Why is that fair? Kohenes is even greater. And if she's Nivala L'Pasala, she loses everything? So says the Meshech Chachma, the same idea. Sometimes the more kadosh something is, the more susceptible they are to falling. So to hear, Kachim is the most kadosh, so it's the most susceptible to Tumah, even a Revi. Truma is the next level, so it's even to a Shlishi. So, says the Gemara, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Minayin L'Revi'i Bakodesh Upasal, how do I know that? How do I know that a Revi'i Kachim can become a Revi'i? So, Vadinu, says the Gemara, it is a Kalvachomer. It's a Kalvachomer. Where's the Kalvachomer? Uma Mechusar Kippurim, Shem Mutter Bitruma, Pasal Bakodesh. Let's see how to understand this line. If we say by Mechusar Kippurim, what's Mechusar Kippurim again? Somebody was telling me for a week, and it's day 7, they waited 7 days, they had Harif Shemesh, now it's the morning of the 8th. It's a Mitzorah, it's a Zav. All they have to do is to bring their carbon. That's all they have left to do, to bring their carbon. So, a mechusar kippurim shemutter betruma. A mechusar kippurim, somebody who's on the level of mechusar kippurim, can coexist with truma. What does that mean? They can eat truma. Meaning that's the first daf in Shas. Right? That night, after 7 days, they can already eat truma. They can't eat kachem yet. That's the next morning after they bring their carbon. But mechusar kippurim, they didn't bring their carbon yet, that status could coexist with truma. No problem. Uma mechusar kippurim shemutter betruma. Pasul bakodesh, but it cannot coexist with kachim. Someone who's mechusar kippurim cannot eat karbanos till after they bring their carbon. So mechusar kippurim is okay with truma, but is not okay with kachim. So a shlishi shepasul betruma, but the status of shlishi cannot live happily with truma, meaning truma can become a shlishi and be tameh. So a shlishi which cannot coexist with truma, eino din, she has to reveal hakodesh. Surely should cause problems for kachim. If a shlishi causes problems for truma, surely it should cause problems for kachim. Again, mechusar kippurim, which does not cause problems for truma, causes problems for kachim. So a shlishi, which causes problems for truma, surely should cause problems for kachim, and therefore make it into even a revi'i. We'll get back to a simple question on that in a minute. But Hashem, let's just finish this statement first. V'lamanu shlishi lakodesh min haTorah. A shlishi, a carbon becoming a shlishi, that's a pasuk in Chumash. V'haravi'i b'kavachomer. You only needed the last step, the kavachomer, to make the revi'i. Where do you know the first step? Shlishi lakodesh min haTorah minayin dechsiv. Because the pasuk says, v'habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'ochel. If the carbon touches anything that's tamei, it cannot be eaten, it becomes tameh. So what's included in anything that's tameh? Milo askina denaga b'sheni. Isn't this including even a sheni? Because we find elsewhere that the Torah calls a sheni tameh. And v'kamer achmona lo ye'achel. So that has to be included in this pasuk. That even if kachem touches a sheni, it's going to be lo ye'achel. Meaning that's the concept of a shlishi bekodesh. That's a din d'oraisa according to the Gemara. Revi'i, that's the kalvachomer. Revi'i mikalvachomer hada'amran. That is what we said. So based on this kalvachomer, is that it did daraisa, did rabbanon, could be daraisa, says Tosus. Stop there for a moment. There's a question. Again, what was the svar of the kalvachomer? If, when it comes to mechusar kippurim, it does not cause problems for truma, and yet it causes problems for kachim, so surely a shlishi, which causes problems for truma, surely should be cause problems for kachim, and therefore create a revi'i in kachim. Asks Rashi. Rashi HaKadosh. Rashi sometimes asks questions too, not so often. But Rashi here asks, I understand a kalvachomer, but we have a rule usually by kalvachomers called dayo. Gemara Baba Kama Chavhei. What's dayo? A kalvachomer allows you to say, surely the same halacha should apply to this, not go a step further. So what did the Gemara just say? A mechusar kippurim causes problems for this, does not cause problems for truma, but it causes problems for kachim. So if it causes problems for truma, so a shlishi causes problems for truma, it surely should cause problems for kachim. So it should cause the same problems for kachim that it does for truma. Since when are you allowed to jump? What did the Gemara just do? The Gemara jumped. If it causes problems for truma and makes truma into a shlishi, then it should cause problems for kachim and make kachim even into a revi'i. That's a jump. Says Rashi, we have a principle, dayo lavo min adin lios kenidon. When you have a kalvachomer, you're not allowed to say it's even more, you're only allowed to say it's at least as stringent. That's Rashi's kasha here. And Rashi answers that, what the Gemara answers there. If a kalvachomer that you have, applying the principle of dayo, right? Again, the principle of dayo is, don't go further with your kalvachomer, just go equal. So says Rashi, if your entire kalvachomer would teach you nothing, if you say the principle of dayo, then you're allowed to even go one step further. That's because then it's what's called mufrach kalvachomer. The whole kalvachomer would be thrown out the window. What would this kalvachomer be teaching me then? So here, as the Gemara just said, you know shlishi by kodesh from a pasuk. So the kalvachomer can't be teaching me that. So that's why you're allowed to go one step further. So the two principles, dayo usually limits the kalvachomer, but if the kalvachomer would not be teaching me anything, if you say dayo, then you're allowed to go even one step further. That's the Rashi here says that. Where's the principle of dayo? What's the source for the principle of dayo? So it's a pasuk in Parshas Baloscha. The Gemara says, Baba Kama, Chafet, What's the source of Dayo? Says the Gemara. V'adayo daraisahi. Ditanya midid kavachomer. Ketzad. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe's brother and sister told Lashon Hara about Moshe, the end of Parshas Baaloscha, via yarok yarak befareha, Moshe, if her father would spit in front of her, she would be embarrassed. Via yarok befareha, haloti kalaim shivas yamim. She should be quarantined, so to speak, for 7 days. Kal vachomer l'shchina. So if she took on Hashem, and Hashem is upset, Arba Asar Yom, Rashi quotes this, the Baloscha, should be 14 days. Should be 14 days. What's the Kal Vachomer? So Tosfos explains, if it was Hashem, if it was a parent, so fine, 7 days. But Hashem is like two parents. Why? Because three should fit in a person. A father, a mother, and Hashem. Like the Gemara says in Ida. So parents are one, so Hashem is like equal to both parents. So if each parent would be 7 days, so Hashem should be 14 days. How long did they wait for Miriam? 7 days. Why? Because of Dayo. That's the source of Dayo. You should have said the Kal Vachomer that they should, Miriam should have had Saras, and Bnei Yisrael should have waited for 14 days, but Dayo lavam min adin lias kenidon for 7 days. That is the source of Dayo. There is a sharp thought that will continue, found in the Kamotzi Shalal Rav on that pasuk in Bahaloscha. He quotes, See, what did Moshe, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu and in front of all of them, Aaron and Miriam, you know, really, it should be for 14 days, but Dayo, so we're going to make it into 7 days. That was the lumdus of what Hashem said. Why not Hashem just say, you tell me for 7 days? We need to go through the lumdus of Kavachomer and Dayo. Just say to Miriam or to Moshe, 7 days. Right? So, it's what's called an einfall. It's a very sharp thought. What is it? Moshe Rabbeinu, what was the whole controversy? Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu separate from his wife? Hashem never commanded it to him. Moshe Rabbeinu made a Kal Vachomer. If Am Yisrael only saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a moment in their life at Har Sinai, and yet they were commanded to separate from their wives for 3 days, so me, I see Hashem at any moment. He might appear to me. So surely I have to separate from my wife. Always. Because at any moment, Hashem, I might have the Maimon Har Sinai experience at any moment in my life. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I got to take one for the team. I got to be take the place of the greatest leader of all time. And therefore, this is what I have to do. Fine. So Moshe Rabbeinu based his decision on a Kal Vachomer. What were Aaron and Miriam upset about? How did he do this? Hashem didn't tell him to do it. A Kal Vachomer. Who says he can do a Kal Vachomer on his own? Right? The halacha is that you can do a Kal Vachomer on your own. You can't do a Gzeir Shava on your own and others, but a Kal Vachomer you can do on your own. But that was the root of the machlokas. Aaron and Miriam were like, how do you make this decision by himself? Hashem didn't command him to do it. So what did Hashem say in the punishment? He didn't just say 7 days. He said a Kal Vachomer with diet to teach them, you're allowed to darshan Kal Vachomers. Okay, there are certain limitations sometimes on Kal Vachomers, but he was telling them the message of, you're allowed to dash at a Kal Vachomer by yourself, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. And he was correct in what he did. So that's why he had this discussion with Moshe and Aaron, that's quoted here, Kal Vachomer with Dayo, so it gets down to 7 days. Okay, we continue. Next distinction quoted from the Mishnah. Ubitruma, imnitmes v'chulu. So what was this case? This was about the hands. By Truma, one hand is Tameh, the other hand does not become Tameh. By Kachim, one hand is Tameh, the other hand becomes Tameh as well. Right, that was towards the bottom of the Mishnah. By difference number 9, remember there are 11, so number 9, by Truma, the hands do not go together, and by Kachim, the hands go together, and just the Mishnah added in one line, which the Gemara is going to get back to also, Shahayad, mitameh es chaverta bakodesh avalo betruma. That a hand is betame, its friend, its fellow hand, its other hand, by kachim, but not by truma. And this for sure, though we had a little controversy over the past couple, this for sure is a din d'rabbanan. To say that only your hand is tame, Rabbi Tumah d'Oraisa, your whole body becomes tame. But by truma d'rabbanan, that's when you could say hands, one hand, the other hand, right? That's why we wash our hands before we eat bread. It goes back to this, the roots of it are in truma. Amar of Shizvi, says Rav Shizvi, Bichiburin Shanu. We're going to go with Rashi's Pshat. This is talking about Bichiburin. What's Bichiburin? The whole idea of if one hand is Tameh, the other hand is also considered Tameh, by kachim, that's only if when the right hand, let's say, touched the tumah, the left hand was touching the right hand. Bechibur and shanu. So then you're really nervous because if it's so close, then your left hand might also have to touch the kachim. That's why we're going to be matame the left hand. Even if it didn't, be the rabbanon. Avol shelo bechibur and lo. But if it was not connected, if the left hand was never touching the right hand at the time, then you don't need such a chumrah even by kachim. Eisle Abaye, 1 second, is that really true? But what about the next part of the Mishnah, or the Braisa, I'm sorry, Yad Neguva, the Braisa that says, Yad Neguva Metame Chaverto Letame Lakodesh, Avalola Truma. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says in a Braisa that a dry hand will be Metame something. If it becomes Tame, then the other hand becomes Tame also. For truma, for kachim and not for truma. There's some chiddush about the hand being dry. Right? Why does Rebbe say that? A dry hand. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda omer, lipasol avalo latame. It only gives it the power, lipsol avalo latame. What does that mean? We mentioned it at the beginning of the parak. If I make something tame, and then that thing can make something else tame, that's called ametame it. If I make something tame, and it's the end of the road, that thing cannot make something else tame, that's called lifsol, to make it pusol. It's tame at the last stop. That's what pusol is. So that's the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda, which we'll get back to B'Hashem later. But what's the crucial point for us now? That Rebbe says a dry hand. Like even a dry hand. What's the chiddush of that? So says the Gemara, E amrit bishlam shalom b'chiburin. If you see our whole discussion of making the other hand tame, is even if they're not touching each other, hainu rabuse dineguva. That's the chiddush of it's a dry hand. There's no chash that you're not worried about one hand touching the tame item directly, because it's not an issue of chiburin. So that's how you understand why neguva is an added chiddush. Why? Rashi explains it in the last Rashi on the Amud. De neguva. Da afal pi de neguva hi kishanaga bazu. Even if it was dry when it touched the hand originally, but it's not touching it now, it was originally dry. There is no worry that earlier it had touched the tumah, right? So you still say that it's going to be tameh. That's the chiddush. You understand that chiddush? Ela I amrit b'chiburin in shelo b'chiburin lo. But if you say the issue here is only when the left hand is still touching the right hand, and what's the root issue? Because you're really worried that the second hand is going to directly touch the tumah. It's not like going through the hands. Because it's chiburin, that's the real worry, said my Ravusi Tadaguva. What's the difference if it's dry or it's wet? The issue is whether this second hand directly touched the item that was tameh. So it shouldn't make a difference whether it was wet or dry. So that is why that's a kasha, and we reject Rav Shizvi. That question is not answered. Period. Itmar Nami. We also have the following braisa. When do we say this whole discussion of your one hand tame, the other hand becoming tame? It's only your other hand. Aval yad chaveiro lo, but not your friend's hand. If you touch your friend's hand, it's not metame, right? If my hand is tame midurabanan and I touch my friend's hand, so then it's not metame. But we don't pask in that way. Rabbi Yochanan echad yadav echad yad chaveiro. Even if I touch my friend's hand, it become tame, right? We have applications of this even bisman hazeh on a drabana level. I mean, let's say I wash my hands for bread, and then somebody else touched my hands. Somebody who did not wash his hands yet, so there is a transfer there. There's a transfer there. Or if somebody a kohen washes his hands, and then somebody gives him shkayach before when he's going up to duch, and he's like, all right, got to go wash my hands again, right? We don't say it goes. Tumah goes from one. Tumah of hesach hadas, right? It's a lower level today, but that's the machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan. And then we say ba'osa hayad, but that extension is only if the hand that became tame touches. Let's say my right hand became tame, and then my right hand touches your hand. So that's where your hand becomes tame. But even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that if my right hand became tame, and then my left hand touched you, it doesn't go that far. It doesn't jump two. It doesn't have two. My second is only tame because of xera, so that's going to transfer. It doesn't go that far. And then the last statement, lifsol avalol tame, and the whole power of the hand. It's only tame enough to make one other thing tame, but not to give it the power to make something else tame. Lipsol avalo latame. So, how do we know that? Midiktani seifa. We know that from the next line of the Mishnah that I just read before. Shayan metama chaver to lakodesh avalol the truma hasul amali. What do you have to say this extra law in Atanalei Reisha? We just said that. We said by Truma it does not transfer, by Kachem it does transfer. Then the Mishnah adds in another line that, you know, only by Kachem and not by Truma. Elav Shema Minol Asuya Yad Chaveiro. So that's how you know that extra line gets to include Yad Chaveiro. That is Rabbi Yochanan Shita. V'yav Reish Lakish HaDamei Reish Lakish himself was Chozer Bo from arguing, and he says Yad Chaveiro also works. Damar Rabbi Yona, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Reish Lakish. First, we try to bring this from one statement, from one machlokas, and then we'll see it from another one. Reish Lakish was Hadar Bei Damar Rabbi Yona, Rabbi Ami, Reish Lakish. Echad Yadav Echad Yad Chaveiro Ba'osa Yad Lipsav Lo Tamei. Period. No, that one is accepted. The next thing is going to be two versions. So both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan agree that the Chumrah of one hand becoming tamei, the other hand becoming tamei, goes to a friend's hand as well. So that's why, again, the application is banazeh. After we wash, we're not supposed to touch anybody else's hand. After we wash for bread, after the nesias kapayim, right, we're not supposed to touch anybody else's hands after that. And the Gemara just ends off in this last section saying, v'lifsol avalola tamei tanoihi. That, this issue of your hands being mitamei, and giving the power to make tuma is really a machlokas, whether they could only give the power for one stage, lifsol, or even two stages. That's really a machlokas tanoim. Where does not? The Mishnah says in yadayim, kalaposel b'truma, anything that possibles by truma. What does that mean? A sheni, any sheni. Kalaposel truma, truma ka b'kam ishlishi. So kalaposel means any sheni. Mitame yadayim liyoshnios. On a drabana level, if I touch a sheni, my hands become tame. Right, that's the halacha mi-chumra mi-drabanan. V'yad mitamei chaverta divrei Rabbi Yeshua. That's the important line for us now. And one hand is mitamei, the other hand, by, there says Rabbi Yeshua. V'chachamim omrim, yo, the whole thing doesn't apply. Yadayim shniyo saying. V'in sheni osa sheni. What, if your hand's such a sheni, they're going to become a sheni? Doesn't work that way, say the chachamim. So what do the chachamim mean? My love, sheni hu delo avid hashlishi avid. Doesn't this mean that the hands can't become a sheni, but maybe they have the power to be a shlishi midrabanan, and therefore they would be able to make something by kachem tame one stage lifsol. The Tanakama was even more chamor lakodesh, right? So maybe they have the power to be matame not only to be posel. So the Gemara says no, dilma lo sheni avid shlishi. Maybe the chamor reject everything. They say sheni does nothing to hands. So this isn't this can't be the machlokas that you're looking for. How much do the hands make the other item tamei? So elok yani tanoi. So we find the different machlokas tanoim, and here it's explicit. Titania yad neguva metamei es chaver to latamei bakodesh avalola truma. Divrei Rebbe, Rabbi Yezer Yehuda Omer, osa yad lifsol avalola tamei. So it's beferish how metamei, what power of tuma can hands give to the other hand and then to another item. Tosfos here discusses this line of the Mishnah, Kalaposel Hashuma, which is a Mishnah in Yadayim, discusses everything that's a sheni has the power to pasel truma. Those it discusses what half of Maseches Yadayim is about, and that is Sifrei Kodesh. Sifrei Kodesh, we know that the Mishnah tells us there that in the days of old, the Kohanim wanted to keep their truma in a safe place. They didn't want it to become tamei with other food and have other, you know, chances of shashos of it anywhere else in the house. So he used to put the truma in the Aron Kodesh in the shul. That's what they used to put the truma. It was safe key. There's no holier place than the Aron Kodesh. That's what they used to put their truma there. What's the problem? If there's truma, they didn't have metal safes like we do. They had whatever, wooden boxes. And when there's food there, that breeds animals. So animals used to come, nibble on the truma, and nibble on the Sifrei Torah. And whatever other swarm there were there. So Chazal said, how do we stop this? How do we stop this tofa'ah that Kohanim are putting their truma in the Aron Kodesh? So you know what they did? They made an unbelievable gzeira. So ironic. All svarim are metame truma. Unbelievable. They gave this svarim the status. All Sifra Kodesh are metame yadayim. They're considered sheni. So therefore, you ought to put your truma in the Aron. If it touches the Sefer Torah, boom, it's tame. You have to throw it out. It's unbelievable. You would think the Sifrei Kodesh are the most tar items in our whole religion. Chazal made Xera to save them. They said, Mitame Yasei Adayim. All Sifrei Kodesh. That's even the term. Remember we had back in Maseches Megillah. How do you define whether something is really Kisvei HaKodesh, whether something is part of Tanakh or not? Right, it was a machlokas, whether Koheles and Shir Hashirim, whether they were going to get in, right? So the Gemara says, whether you're Mitame, it's Mitame Yasei Adayim. That's the litmus test that Chazal gave. So that was a special gzeira. So Tosfos here discusses, why did you need that whole separate gzeira? Right, it seems to be included in other more inclusive rules that the Chazal makes. That's Tosfos' discussion here about that halacha of Sifrei Kodesh being metameh, and related to what Tosfos says here is a discussion in some achronim, and that is, even today, touching klafim barehanded. We generally try not to do that, right? Whenever, let's say, there's a galila going on and the klaf falls, we pick it up with a talus. But with a talus, because that goes back, like for the Bizayan, there's a line of Rabbi Parnach at the end of Maseches Megillah. If you touch a Torah arum, then you're going to be buried arum. That means you're going to lose certain mitzvos. But we try not to touch Torah arum based on that din and based on going back to the status of Kisvei HaKodesh. Does that apply only to Torah? Does it apply to Tefillin and Mezuzahs as well? That's this discussion here in the middle of Tosfos right here. Whether it applies to others. Rabbi Akiva has a tshuva in Simin Nun Ches, where he discusses, I guess it was very common in those days, I guess 200 years ago, that the mezuzahs were not in containers. Because Rabbi Akiva starts screaming at the people of his generation, how do you walk by, and because there's this minog of touching the mezuzah when you walk into the room, you're touching Kisvei HaKodesh. How can you do this? He starts screaming at them. And he says, you want, and I think you should just stop the whole minhag, and if you really want to do it, take your sleeve and roll it down, and then touch the mezuzah. But it must be, in those days, that we're talking about directly touching the klaf. Now we have it in a plastic, in a container, and like now, there's no chumri, you're not touching it anyway. Right, but that was in the days of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He has that discussion. The whole idea, remember, the idea of touching the mezuzah is a much later, it's in the achronim. Right, you don't find that kissing the mezuzah, I should say. The Rama already quotes. The Rama already quotes the idea of negiyah of the mezuzah, neshika of focusing on the mezuzah in Yaradeya, in Hilchas Mezuzah, in Resh Pehei. But again, the source of it comes from that Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph by Unkelus, where the Caesar keeps sending Unkelus different legions of armies to try to get him back because he was a ger and he was very upset about it. And every time Unkelus started talking to him in Torah, he got them converted. And finally, at the last stage, you know, he says, "Don't talk to him, just bring me Unkelus." And Unkelus just points to the mezuzah and, you know, that was it. That was it. What's this? Oh, our king stays outside of our house to guard us, right? Even though the other kings stay inside, and they converted as well. But that is the, if you look in the beginning of the mezuzah, the Rama quotes the idea. He says, "Kisha adam yotzei min habayis yaniach yado al mezuzah." He quotes it. He says, "Maharil o muchach bavodas kochavim yud aleph." That's the uncle's story. But the idea of kissing the mezuzah—that's already again, when you put your hand on something, maybe there's nothing wrong in kissing it. But that's where Rabbi Akiva says you have to be careful if it's just a plain cloth. But again, that relates to our issue here. Okay, just two more minutes. Let's just finish this up. Says the Gemara, "Ochlin neguvim biyadam esovo schulu." This was the second to last difference, number 10, that when it comes to truma, if everything is dry, meaning it never was hooked to the kabbal tumah, you could eat it with tumah hands because it's not going to make it tumah. Unlike kachem, we say not. Tanya, Amar Rechaim and Antigonus, v'chiyesh neguva lakodesh, v'alochibas lakodesh machshartan. So we mentioned earlier and yesterday, by kachem, why should it make a difference whether your hands are dry or not dry or the hechshel lekabel tumah? Remember, kachem's a rule breaker. It's always going to become tummy right away. Chibas hakodesh, even if it never became wet, it's as if it became wet. So why should neguva make a difference? So lo tzricha, no. What about this case? What if I eat something without touching it? Somebody else sticks it into my mouth. Or I eat it on a toothpick, meaning a straight piece of wood that is not makabel tumah. Ubikesh lechol, and what's the issue? So now I ate it on that, so now I'm chewing. I'm chewing kadshim in my mouth, which is tar, right? Because I didn't touch it with my tummy hands. But now it's wet inside. My saliva is making it wet. And now I want to eat something else at the same time, and it's going to be in my mouth at the same time. The other food. Ubikesh lechol tznonu batzel shel chulin imahen. So, am I allowed to do that? Lekodesh, gazubu rabbanan, letrumah legazubu rabbanan. For kachim, no. For kachim, swallow first. Right? Because you don't want to run into any problems with the kachim. Now it's hooked to the kabbal tumah, and your hands now touch the food, and now the food is tummy, it's going to be metameh the kachim. So by kachim, you cannot eat kachim and chulin at the same time. In the mouth. Right? Halacha l'maisa. If I have kashe kalim, if I'm eating in Yerushalayim, I'm eating some shlamim, I got to be careful. I can't eat other items if my hands were tame, you know, while I have it in my mouth. It is interesting when we talk about a ma'achil and an ochel. What if somebody sticks bread into my mouth? Do I have to wash? I don't touch the bread. So do I have to wash? The Shulchan Aruch discusses this in Kuf Samach Gimel. Hama'achil la'acherim eino tzarech netilas yadayim. V'ha'ochel tzarech netilas yadayim. We go by the eater. It doesn't go by the toucher. You're eating the bread, you gotta wash, even if you're not touching it. If somebody's feeding it to you, he does not have to wash. That's the rule of Maisa. Avo bisha acher no sein l'toch piv, even if I'm not touching it. V'in no gea b'machal. V'odin l'ocho b'magrefa. What about if I eat pizza with a fork and a knife? Right? So, I'm not gonna touch it. Right? Doesn't matter. If I'm eating it, sarach natilas yadayim. Right? That is the halach in terms of an ochel and a machil. Last line, a onin umchusi kippurim bechulu, my taima. We mentioned this, an onin, what if the onin never went to the levaya? He's not tame. Why does he have to go to the mikvah? An onin has to go to the mikvah, and a umchusi kippurim has to go to the mikvah before they partake of kachim. My taima, why? Kiva dada inna havaya siri, atzrachinu rabbanan tfila. Because up until now, it was usher for them to eat. You're right. Not because of tumma, but just because it was usher. Well, Bechuzik Yipurim had Tumah, but that's why right now, Midrabanan, we require another Tevila. There was a Hesach Hadas, the Rambam's Lashon is, there was a Hesach Hadas from this mitzvah of Kachim, and therefore, Rabbanan required a Tevila. Okay, B'ez Hashem, tomorrow we, continue with Daf Chafei, and then, we continue with the last three Daf in Mesechas Chagigah.